Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lieutenant General Roger Brady, Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff, Manpower and Personnel. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Bleimeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. General, as you look over the next 10 years, what type of personnel concerns do you think the Air Force will face?
Well, I think there are a couple of challenges as we go forward. We are becoming more and more a technical force. We always have been on the leading edge of technology. But as we go into space and cyberspace, as we operate in those domains, as equipment becomes more technically oriented, that requires a skill set of people that requires us to have really good people and to continue to develop and educate and train them and provide them the right experiences. We also find ourselves operating around the world in coalition environments. We need to understand whoever the hostile force is in a cultural sense. We also need to understand our partners, our coalition partners, and we will inevitably go to war in the future with coalition partners as we are now and as we have in the recent past. So continuing to develop our people to operate effectively, both in terms of the interface with the technology that we have and the equipment that we have, and also with our coalition partners, will be increasingly important to us, and we're placing great focus on that.
General, in our time, we haven't had a chance to discuss in too much detail the BRAC and QDR, but I am curious, how is personnel and manpower involved in helping ensure a seamless transition to some of the new structures and missions while preserving its unique vital capabilities?
Well, that's a great question, and obviously when you when you move people around and you have units move, as we have had associated with the base realignment and closure activity, you have missions that change. You have particularly a Guard and Reserve, you'll have a unit change mission. So you've got a lot of people that you've got to train retrain for the new mission. So there are challenges there. And as we draw down also, as I said earlier, we have a reduced manpower pool, but at the same time, we have a mission that's as demanding as ever. So that means that we have to pay even more attention than we have in the past to what we call our tooth-to-tail ratio. So you've got to look at your management structures, because management structures are tail. And so we have to look and see to make sure that within our processes, at every level of the organization, we don't have redundancy in the things that we do. And as we like to say, we can't have checkers checking checkers. And so a lot of work that we're doing is to make sure that our processes align end to end and that we cut out as much redundancy as we can and we make our organizations as flat as we can.
General, I'd like to shift to another force of change, the National Security Personnel System, NSPS. Can you give us your – that will impact the civilian workforce. Can you give us your – understanding of NSPS and how you think it will impact the Air Force civilian workforce and your own organization?
Yes, NSPS is critically important to us. Our civilians are absolutely vital to everything that we do, and we're using them more and more. In fact, right up to a general officer level, in many cases, we're using them interchangeably with general officers, which gives us great flexibility in our general officer corps. But what NSPS does, unlike the system that we now live under, NSPS will give us the flexibility to reassign people more easily. It will give us the capability to reward our best people. It greatly cuts down on the bureaucracy associated with skill levels and reclassification of jobs and things like that that make reassignment of people painful for everyone, for the individual, for the organization, et cetera. I think it'll be a great boon to our people. It allows us to move our people around more easily and identify our best people with greater precision and give people the development that they need so that those civilians who want to serve at higher levels have the capability to get the development to do that. So I think it's a wonderful initiative, and we're trying very hard to implement it now, and it will pay us great dividends, both to the institution and the people.
Organizations going through large-scale change like you're going through often conflict with the current culture of the organization. How do you think the Air Force will adapt culturally over the next coming years as this change is implemented?
Well, we like to believe that we're the most adaptive of all military folks. But you raise an important question. We are a large organization, and some would say a large bureaucracy, and that's true. However, we're an organization that is used to change. We have been, for example, operating in the deserts of Southwest Asia since August of 1990, constantly. So a lot of our people have seen the sandbox. And when you do that, from the people who come from the various parts of the Air Force and perhaps grow up in a particular functional area, all of that, to even a greater degree than at home base, gets melded together because you are focused on a absolutely critical mission. You live together, you eat together, you work together, and there is a great bonding of airmen in that experience. You gain an incredible appreciation for what the services people do, for what the personnelists do, for what the fighter pilots do, for what the aircraft maintainers do. And if you didn't have that appreciation before, you come away from that experience understanding that it takes all of us to make this work. So I think we're looking forward to this challenge, and it is change. And because we're humans, we tend to resist change, and change is difficult. But at the same time, I think we've proven over many years that change is something we can accomplish, and we'll thrive in this environment.
General, your passion has given us a window into the exciting personnel transformation going on in the Air Force. What advice can you give to a person who's interested in a career in public service, especially in the military? And finally, General, what do you say to a young enlisted or lieutenant airman about the career opportunities and climate of the Air Force of the future?
I think we like to say that we have a rich heritage and we have an endless horizon. We're a force that operates in air and space and cyberspace. It is the ultimate high ground. There are incredible challenges. We ask our young people, how can we do things better? And they tell us. There is great opportunity for people who want to serve a cause that's greater than themselves. It is an exciting place to be. And when you go forward, particularly, you go to the most difficult, what might be the seemingly most difficult place to serve in our Air Force, you will find the highest morale among our people because they know they're serving a cause that's greater than themselves. They have come to trust, rely on, respect each other. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's a very rich life. It's a very demanding life. I think that many Americans, young Americans, are going to continue to want to do this. We need very talented people who are willing to serve this country and be a part of something very important. And so I think there's great opportunity across a whole array of educational backgrounds and skill sets. Men and women. Women have done an incredible job in our force. They represent about 20% of our force now, almost, and they're involved in virtually everything that we do, and are succeeding marvelously. It's an absolutely a great team to be a part of, and I'm excited every day I come to work to be with great young people, and they're looking younger and younger to me, but to be with young people who want to succeed. Who want the Air Force to succeed and want to serve this nation. It's very gratifying.
General, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Bob and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and the various roles you've held in the United States Air Force.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for having me here. I always relish the opportunity to talk about our Air Force and the great young men and women who make it such a great institution.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General Roger Brady of the United States Air Force. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.